Good morning, church. Today's first reading is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 28, verses 17 to 31. After 3 days, he called together the local leaders of the Jews. And when they had gathered, he said to them, "Brothers, though I had done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. When they had examined me, they wished to set me at liberty, because there was no reason for the death penalty in my case. But because the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, though I had no charge to bring against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have asked to see you and speak with you, since it is because of the hope of Israel that I am wearing this chain." And they said to him, "We have received no letters from Judea about you, and none of the brothers coming here has reported or spoken any evil about you. But we desire to hear from you what your views are. For with regard to this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against." When they had appointed a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in greater numbers. From morning to evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. And some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. And disagreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul had made one statement: "The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to these people and say, you will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen.' He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance." This is the word of the Lord.
Church, the Gospel of Luke tells us that in chapter 4, "And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read." Can I invite us to stand to hear and receive the Holy Gospel this morning, written in the 28th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, starting to read from verse 16 right through to verse 20. Glory to Christ, our Savior. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of age." This is the Gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ, our Lord.
Please be seated. Good morning. Father, we thank you for this morning that we can come before you in worship, We pray this day that you meet with us right where we are. Help us as we begin to see your hand of grace, mercy, and power move. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Let me draw your attention to the last word in the last chapter in the book of Acts. So the last two verses read for us. He lived there, this is Paul, for 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. The last word in the book of Acts is this Greek word, akoulutos. And akoulutos means unhindered. Paul proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. This word akoulutos, or unhindered, really summarizes the book of Acts very fittingly. And this word wasn't placed there by chance. But Luke purposely chose to end with this word, unhindered. Because the book of Acts tells the story of the gospel advancing without hindrance. Nothing can stop the spread, the progress, and the ultimate victory of the gospel. Not even trials, opposition, or difficulties can stop the advance of the gospel. In the book of Acts, we saw how the gospel spread. After the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the church started out as a ragtag team of disciples, but empowered by the Holy Spirit, we saw how the church grew. Thousands upon thousands came to know Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the Gentile nations of Syria, Antioch, Cyprus, Galatia, Macedonia, Asia, and then in this chapter, in 28, to Rome. And further on, to the nations, all the nations of the world. The gospel goes forth unhindered. In our reading today, we see Paul finally arriving in Rome. Remember, the journey started in Acts 21 when Paul reached Jerusalem. Not long after, he was immediately arrested. A riot broke out and Paul was seized, terribly beaten up. He was put on trial by the governor Felix, kept in prison for 2 years. And then when the new governor Festus took over, Paul appealed to him for his right as a Roman citizen to have his trial in Rome. So 2 weeks back, remember the journey, the shipwreck in Malta, they landed up in Malta and then they boarded another ship. And finally, in Acts 28, they reach Rome in this last chapter in the book of Acts. But I want us to see how strangely this book ends, how abruptly it ends. There is no conclusion of Paul's trial. There's no mention of whether he really saw Caesar, the emperor, to appeal his case. There is no word about his freedom, no conclusion about what happened to him. Instead, the last word in the book of Acts is this word, akoulutos, or unhindered. I think Luke purposely chose to end with this word, unhindered, to remind us that it's not only then in Paul's time, but even today, the gospel of the kingdom of God is still advancing forward, unhindered. It is unstoppable. The book of Acts doesn't end with Paul's story, but it ends with the message of the kingdom of God moving forward. One commentator wrote that the real hero of Acts is not Peter, not Paul, but the Word of God in Christ. It goes forward unhindered. Unhindered means? Unhindered means? Unhindered lah. Literally, it cannot be stopped. Unhindered is a word that is filled with so much positivity, hope, and optimism. But if you picture with me the ending of Acts, it was a picture of Paul in chains. He was under house arrest. Can this picture be that of a victorious one, of the gospel unhindered? How can it be that Paul in chains is still a picture of the gospel unhindered? The only conclusion is this, that obstacles may be present, but they can never hinder the progress of the kingdom. Never. Because we serve a God who is sovereign, a God who is always ahead, always in control. In the army, soldiers have to clear an obstacle course. And I really disliked it. You know especially which one? Say it, I won't take offense. The low wall. It's called the low wall. But when I stand next to it, it's not low. If Pastor Dino stands next to it, it's low. I stand next to it, it's not low. It's a misrepresentation of the wall. How I wish then I knew like Jesus to walk through walls. How we wish, church, sometimes, most times, whenever there is an obstacle or something that blocks our path, we simply run through, get over them quickly. We pray these prayers, make all our problems disappear, our difficulties disappear. We pray for that magic pill, a miraculous snap. Let me recover from that illness. Let me wake up to $1 million in my bank account. Give me a new boss. Mend that broken relationship. Give me that energy that I need and a new lease of life. We pray like Paul, remove that thorn from me. Give me, my Lord, a road that is free from obstacles, difficulty. But for Paul, the obstacles were there. His thorn was still there, though 3 times he pleaded with the Lord. But these obstacles never hindered the progress of the gospel. So Paul can write, I have been imprisoned more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Paul is saying, all these obstacles, external circumstances, situation, in no way hindered the forward momentum of the gospel. In fact, like the obstacle course, they strengthen the runner, the person going through the course. The gospel advances unhindered, even when there are obstacles so apparent in front. Some time back, I attended a lunch seminar. There, as we were talking with the participants, this was a missions lunch seminar. So one of them recounted about how he and his wife were missionaries in India for many, many years. He was running the Bible school, his wife, the orphanage. They were doing so well, and the Lord blessed their ministry. But when there was a change of local government in the area, the new leaders wanted this missionary couple to pay the officials a sum of money monthly. He said, it's not a big sum, manageable. But because he saw this as a bribe, he refused to pay. He told us, in Bible school, I teach my students ethics. How can I give a bribe so blatantly to them? And the result was he had to leave the country. But he said the ministry continued. The orphanage, the Bible school continued. It turned out for the better because those graduated stayed on to teach. Those graduated started to take charge of the orphanage. They learned independence. They became stronger. And he said the ministry continues even today. At the last confirmation service held at SES, Bishop Guan asked this question. He asked, what caused the greatest growth of the churches in China? Mao Zedong. Why? Because all the foreign missionaries were forced to leave. And it made the local leaders step up. Resilience and the local brand of theology was formed. Regardless of circumstance, the kingdom of God is advancing. Like a river that is moving quickly, like a horse carriage charging forward, like a bullet train that has just left the station, it is accelerating. It advances unhindered, even when there are obstacles. Even when you look ahead, when there seems to be that insurmountable roadblock. But it is still advancing forward. When Paul reached Rome in Acts 28, we learn he was allowed to live by himself, but placed under the guard of a soldier. And he lived like that for 2 years. But Paul went to Rome to be under trial. But how come he can live by himself for 2 years? Why didn't the trial take place quickly? So to that, John MacArthur wrote, long delays were very common in the first century trials in the Roman government. So they had a huge backlog of cases of trials that they had to do because every Roman citizen can appeal to Rome. So they had a court system, something like ours, but unlike our Singaporean efficiency. So the people in Rome kept having the cases stacked up and the trials put off. So what do they do as they await trial? Majority will be in prison, but because the prisons are also full, so they allow them to be on house arrest. So Paul was placed under house arrest, but whose house? In verse 30, we learn it was at his own expense, so he had to pay rent for the house to be placed under house arrest over there. So he had to pay for his own rent and own food at his own expense. But being on house arrest, man, Paul couldn't leave the house at all. So there was a soldier who guarded him. And we know that he was chained to this soldier all the time. And we know from history that they work 6-hour shifts. So every 6 hours, there will be a new soldier whom Paul would be chained to. But while on house arrest, Paul was free to minister. He met with the Jews, explained to them what happened. He preached to them. He started with the Jews first. He met with the leaders and then the groups, as we, in our passage earlier, it just got larger and larger. We read, he witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining to them about the kingdom of God and from the law of Moses and the prophets. He tried to persuade them about Jesus. He tried to tell them that Jesus fulfills the law. He tried to tell them that the prophets pointed to Jesus, you see. He preached from morning till evening. He didn't use imprisonment and then he just sit back, but he used this opportunity to advance the gospel because circumstances didn't restrict him. In fact, the 2 years that he was on house arrest, Paul was very, very busy. While under house arrest, he wrote the books of Colossians, Philemon, Ephesians, Philippians. He met with different people, the Jews, the Gentiles. He welcomed everybody into his rented house. We learn in Colossians that he met with different people, Aristarchus, Luke, Mark, Jesus Justice, Epaphras, Timothy, Demas. They all visited. When they came to Rome, they went to Paul's place. So friends came. Strangers came, he welcomed them all as he shared and preached about Jesus. Remember, Paul was chained to the guards. There was a guard with Paul all the time. Rather, as a preacher said, actually, it's not Paul who was chained to the guards, but the guards were chained to Paul because they can't escape this man. For the whole 6 hours that they were on duty, they kept hearing Paul talk about, you can do this. They kept hearing Paul talk about Jesus. Jesus. And they were stuck next to him. This guy wouldn't shut up. Every moment, Jesus, different ones come, Jesus' testimony being repeated and repeated. That's why in Rome, while Paul, as he wrote the letters to the church in Philippi, he said this in Philippians, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ." Do you see that? Paul says, the gospel, all that has happened to me, the gospel is still advancing. And now, the whole imperial guard knows why I'm here. The whole imperial guard knows that my imprisonment is for Christ. They knew what Paul stood for, but did they actually receive Christ? At the end of his letter here, Paul wrote, "Greet every saint meaning Christian, in Christ Jesus. And who are these? The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household." Who is Caesar's household? Caesar's guards, the imperial guards. So the guards chained to Paul receive Christ as well. I think they must be fighting to be on duty. So while Paul was bound, the gospel wasn't. 2 years he had been prisoned in Caesarea, and now another 2 years here in Rome, 4 years. But this period was one of the greatest periods of impact in Paul's ministry. He wrote the prison epistles, Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon. He mentored leaders, and many, including the Roman guards, came to know Jesus. His little rented prison house became his pulpit where he proclaimed Christ from. We read in the last two verses, he lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God, teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Pay attention to the word welcome. He welcomed all who came to him. He exercised that hospitality to everyone who knocked on his doors. We started out the year with the proclamation and call to embark on radical hospitality. And we said that this was the year of the Lord's welcome. It's the Lord's welcome because he first showed us that hospitality. We were strangers. He welcomed us into his family. He made us his sons and daughters. And through the year, this year itself, as we went through the Gospel of Luke, we saw how the Lord showed favor on the lowly, how he reached out to the sinners, how he welcomed those marginalized, forgotten, mistreated to his table of grace and mercy. And then we moved to the book of Acts, where we saw how the Jewish Christians had to wrestle to welcome the Gentiles as part of the community. We saw how cultural barriers were broken, and we heard the clarion call as his disciples to offer hospitality to others. I've shared that when we think of hospitality, we think in terms of space, the physical space and the heart space that we can offer to people. And this space, as Henry Nouwen puts it so well, allows for change to take place. This space offers friendship without binding the guests, allows for change to actually happen. So we will, should, and must continue to do that in SJSM, in this village that the Lord has blessed us with. We have the physical space, and that, I've said, is the easier part to share. But the more difficult one is the heart space. And we pray to grow deeper in that in the coming year. And more details will be shared later on. But the prayer is eventually that for those whom we offer hospitality to, that they too will offer hospitality to our Lord and Savior. They too will welcome him into their hearts. And then when they do that, they realize that he is actually the host. That they actually, as they welcome him, they are welcomed into his presence. And they too will become his sons and daughters. Obstacles may be present, but the call to you and I today is to always be faithful in pressing on despite the obstacles. Nothing can hinder the forward momentum of the gospel. It is unstoppable. After Paul preached and evangelized to the Jews in Rome, what was their response? In verse 24, we read, some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. Some. Only some? This is the Apostle Paul preaching from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God from the law of Moses, from the prophets. He tried to persuade them about Jesus. This is the great Apostle Paul himself spending hours, days, witnessing, preaching, explaining. It's like doing evangelism, follow-up, and CE all together. But the result was mixed. Only some were convinced by what he said. Wouldn't you have thought that if Paul spent so much time with this group of people, almost all will believe? Yet we read, some were convinced, others would not believe. There is still that rejection of the gospel truth. So today, as we continue, press on in offering radical hospitality, as the team practices hard for the gospel service, as we invite friends and family for Alpha, we need to know this truth, that there will be some who will receive and others will reject the gospel. Some will be convinced and others will disbelieve. In our gospel reading in Matthew 28:17, when Christ came, some worship, others doubted. The same, you see. Whenever the gospel is preached, we will see different responses. If it was like that for Apostle Paul, how different do we imagine our efforts to be? But our role, church, is simply to be faithful. Simply to be faithful. For rejection cannot in any way hinder the progress of the gospel. There will be, as Luke quotes Isaiah in Acts 28:26, when the gospel is preached, there will be people who are ever hearing but never understanding, ever seeing but never perceiving. For the same fire that melts wax also hardens clay. There will always be people who will reject the truth. There will be people who will reject the gospel. But even when there is rejection, the gospel is not hindered at all. Your duty, my duty, is to keep pressing on in faithfulness in proclaiming Christ. Our duty is to keep on doing that even when obstacles come by our way. Our attitude is to rejoice in those who respond and to keep on being faithful. Because setbacks may come, but success is not determined by your circumstances. Success is not determined by how well you do, but it is determined by your obedience to the Lord. There was a missionary who worked for so many years living and staying with a particular tribe. This missionary spent over 20 years with the tribe, and on his deathbed, not a single soul turned to Christ. Then, a year after his death, another missionary took over. And he was so shocked when he went to the tribe. The village chief had turned to Christ. The whole entire tribe turned to Jesus. So this new missionary was so shocked. And he went to the village chief. What happened? Why didn't you come to Christ earlier with the faithful missionary who passed on? He served 20 years here. And the village chief replied, that missionary, he spoke all the time about not being afraid of death. I had to wait for him to die first to see if this was true. Now we are convinced and we believe. The measure, church, of success is our faithfulness to God. Ajay Fernando puts it this way. He says, though we belong to the triumphant kingdom of the Lord of the universe, We may sometimes feel as if we are living under circumstances of defeat, but the witness of Acts should encourage us to see obedience to God as the ultimate success and triumph in life. Though the gospel keeps on advancing, though sometimes we look around, we say, really? We go 5 steps forward and 6 steps back, it seems, or 4 steps back. But your faithfulness to the call is what really matters. That's why I invite you this day to choose to partner Christ in reaching out to the many people who have not heard the gospel. Choose to participate in the advancement of the kingdom. Choose to be obedient to the call, regardless of circumstances. We earmark this weekend as we remember 25 years of Alpha here in SGSM. And Alpha is a very tangible way as we open a space for people to explore Christianity, to ask all the questions they want without judgment. And as you step out of the sanctuary later, there will be an Alpha booth. They are giving out balloons. And they are also collecting testimonies. If you have stories to share and tell about Alpha, go to the booth and they will take it, record some of these testimonies with you. When I speak to different people, they will tell me, Pastor, last time you know when we ran Alpha, the tentage ran from here all the way to there. And it's true. I asked Angie for the numbers. The first Alpha run in SGSM, 500 over people attended. Over 150 guests. In 1999, we saw over 60 salvations. So when we look back, we say, wow, last time it was like that. So wonderful last time. But I say to us, we worship this same God. He's not only a God of last time, yesterday, but He's the same God, SJSM, that we worship today. Nothing can hinder the forward momentum of the gospel. Not the leadership, not the pastors who come and go, not setbacks, not apparent weakness, but this gospel of the kingdom will keep advancing unhindered. The story continues. The question is, are you in it? Are you in it? I shared at the start that the ending of the book of Acts is so weird, no? It's building up to Paul's trial from Acts 21, so many chapters, the journey to Rome, but it ends like that. This book has no ending because God is still at work. And you and I are a part of it. We are part of this continuing story. The question again is, will you choose to be faithful? Do you choose to believe? Will you take your place to take hold of what the Lord has for you and the church? Are you willing to open your eyes to see the space, the possibilities for His gospel to be shared? Will you be this generation standing up to bridge the gap? This generation is not defined by age, but by mission and purpose for His kingdom. So Father, we pray that You meet with us and help us. Help us as we rise up to take the place, as we choose to believe that Your kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom of God, keeps on advancing. Help us to be part of the advancement story, holding the banner and flag of Christ high up for Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray.